Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to head inside the film room and break down the tape. The FantasyGuru.com weekly matchup podcast is on. Here's John Hansen and Greg Cosell.
Welcome to the week two matchup podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. I'm John Hansen. And week one in the books. How about that? Pretty wild week in the National Football League, as per usual. And we're going to break down week two in the matchups. It's a vicious cycle in terms of trying to grasp everything that happened in week one and then quickly turn our attention to week two. That's what we do at FantasyGuru.com. If you're a subscriber, just FYI, we're still trying to get into the swing of things here. It takes us a while because we just can't prepare for the regular season like we need to, because it's, well, it's the preseason. So we're getting there, though, and we're rocking and rolling. And by the way, if you're not a subscriber, we have unleashed a daily fantasy tool that is badass, the DFS Guru, getting rave reviews and already netting people some big time funds playing daily fantasy. So check that out, fantasyguru.com. We have really beefed up the DFS content here. And look, we're just going with the industry. We're still covering the players as we always do and ranking them and all that. All the in-season content is pretty much remained the same, but we've added content because that's what the people want. And the people, they always want Greg Cosell and his insights, because he's locked in the film room about 10 miles north of me right now at NFL Films, and we welcome him in now. What's up, Greg?
John, my man, what's happening?
Well, we're recording this in the evening on Wednesday night, which is not a big deal because you've done your tape study for the day, and we would normally do this on a Thursday. But
on a Thursday morning, I wouldn't necessarily see any more tape by the time we did it first thing Thursday morning.
And the bonus here, Greg, is I'm a nighttime person. I love the nightlife. Ah. I love to boogie. So I think maybe the podcast will improve just for that.
I don't know if I'd acknowledge that I know that song, John.
Oh, I know. That's dating myself a little bit, but
yeah.
Who cares? I don't give a rat's ass at this point, Greg. But the point is, I'm half asleep. I'm going to be honest with the listeners for those morning podcasts. Now that I set myself up, I need to be measurably better, and hopefully we will. And let's get rolling here, Greg. Week one of the NFL is in the books, so let's get to week number two. And of course, we'll start with the Thursday night affair. Short week in KC. Greg, talk about how challenging a matchup this is for Denver. It's shocking to say, but Peyton Manning not instilling a lot of confidence here. It's clearly a work in progress. We've got some protection issues up front. Greg, this looks like a scary matchup for Denver's offense here in week two.
And it wasn't that long ago, John, that Peyton Manning would play the Chiefs defense and their high percentage man and their pressure concepts and just eat them up. And now that doesn't seem likely to happen. There's O-line issues. Manning's having to get rid of the ball quicker than he wants to. He's not as comfortable in the pocket. I think that this is a difficult matchup. And something you and I have talked about, when you play in Kansas City and there's a crowd noise factor, we saw it last year when New England played Kansas City on that Monday night game in which New England was blown out. You see that offensive linemen sometimes are at just a beat late off the ball. And if you're a beat late off the ball with Tamba Hali and Justin Houston, you've got some issues.
Yeah, plus they can cover pretty well here on the back end. Greg and Peyton missed Emmanuel Sanders last week a couple of times, didn't look comfortable rolling out. We certainly think he's going to figure this out. But look, he's the ultimate timing and repetition guy, and he doesn't have a ton of reps here in this new offense here. It's adjustment for Peyton, and I guess you would lower expectations as we did last week on the website.
Yeah,
week.
I would, and I think I think he's a functional space quarterback now, more so than ever. And I think that that space has been reduced a little bit due to offensive line concerns and probably people's willingness to blitz more because the feeling being that he's not going to beat them down the field. So I think there's a new dynamic in play. And, hey, I wouldn't count Peyton Manning out just because he's Peyton Manning, but I think there'll be an adjustment period here.
How critical is it to get C.J. Anderson and Ronnie Hillman rolling here? And I hate to say it, but to take some pressure off of Peyton.
Well, I think that's where the dynamic has changed. I think they're a team now that needs to run the ball effectively in order for their offense to really work effectively. And you would never have said that, but, you know, look, hey, age catches up with everybody. Peyton is a little different player now than he was, and only time will tell where that goes one way or the other. But the run game becomes absolutely critical, John.
How about the arm strength, though, for Peyton? Is that not an issue in your mind right now?
Well, do I think it's different than last year? Probably not. I mean, you know, those balls that you talked about where he overthrew the quarter, Emmanuel Sanders, I mean, even last year, was he going to drive the ball at 22 yards on a line? No, he wasn't, even when he was playing really well for the first 8 or 9 weeks. So I don't know if arm strength is the reason. He's certainly not a big-armed guy, but I think there's a lot of other factors.
We gave the Bronco D a lot of love in the preseason, and they're off to a good start here with a touchdown. But, Greg, how scary of a matchup is this for Alex Smith here? And he's got weapons, obviously, Charles and, of course, Kelsey. But this Denver D, and Wade Phillips too, Greg, on top of all the talent on all three levels, talk about how challenging of a matchup it is for Kansas City's offense.
Well, I got to tell you, I think this defense could end up being one of the top two or three in football when all said and done. And they have a ton of length. They've got a lot of players no one talks about that are really good players like Malik Jackson. I mean, look, T.J. Ward doesn't play week one against Baltimore, and they put in David Bruton, who's been there for years, and he plays very well. And I think that they can cover. I mean, they have three corners that can really cover in Roby, Harris, and Tlaib. They can rush the quarterback. I think DeMarcus Ware looks really spry for whatever year he's in. I think he looks really good. Malik Jackson is a player I love up front who can play end and tackle. This is a defense that's really good at all three levels.
Yeah, and their linebackers have some athleticism inside there and speed. If there's one player in Kansas City between Macklin, Charles, and Kelsey who may have the best chance to expose a weakness, I got to think it'll be Travis Kelsey here, Greg.
I would agree. You know, they designed things for Kelsey. I mean, that touchdown he had last week, the longer touchdown, was one of their staple route concepts that is really effective because it breaks down a defense schematically. And I think that's the kind of thing. And Andy Reid's always been good at that, John. We can't lose sight of that. I think they do a lot of good things schematically in the pass game, and they're going to have to because I don't think they're going to win necessarily individually. Not that Kelsey's not capable of that. He is, because he's very athletic, and certainly Macklin is a higher level NFL receiver, but I don't think you can make a living against the Chiefs, against the Broncos defense, trying to win one-on-one individual matchups.
Yeah, by the way, the Chief O-line is no great shakes.
No,
either.
It's not. I mean, and that's an issue. That is an issue.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, especially a left tackle there. I mean, can we draft a left tackle, Greg, in the top 10 who actually can play? I mean, it's been horrible lately with these guys.
It's been probably worse than you even think.
Yeah. I'm talking about 3-4 guys at the top of my head here. Jokel and Fisher and, you know, even Khalil and Greg Robinson. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, Greg Robinson's having a really hard time.
Finally here, back to that Kelsey point, and we did talk about this off the air, but I just wanted to share it, you know, that design play there. Is Kelsey going to be helped by having Jeremy Macklin? I mean, he's not DeSean Jackson, but maybe compared to Dwayne Bowe, he is, and he can lift the top off a defense a little bit and press you down vertically.
Yeah, he can. And I think that always gives you another dimension offensively. And, you know, even if he's not the one catching balls, I think you do have to take into account his ability to run vertical routes, which you certainly didn't have to factor into the Dwayne Bowe occasion.
Moving on to the Texans at the Panthers, Greg, it looks like it's going to be Ryan Mallett. Maybe a lateral move overall. I would say Mallett with a hose maybe gives them a little bit more upside potential, but not a beautiful matchup here at Carolina. They're going to get star Latulele back, and they play good defense still, Greg.
Yeah, they do play good defense. They're a very disciplined defense. Sean McDermott is very good selectively blitzing. I think that they're just a solid defense. The only concern you have with this defense, and it is a concern, it wasn't exposed last week against Jacksonville. It probably won't be this week. But just to keep in mind as we go forward, John, is their starting safeties are Kirk Coleman and Roman Harper, and there's no speed there.
Right, and I'm sure they're going to be licking their chops there a little bit because, you know, this is going to be a downfield passing attack here with guys like Nate Washington, Savvy Pro, and DeAndre Hopkins, and, of course, Cecil Shorts. No running game to speak of, though, and not looking good for Arian Foster back here. On the other side, Carolina, they got to get Greg Olsen going here, Greg. There's no question about it. I think defenses are going to start taking him out here, and maybe we saw that last week. They got to be, I guess, a little bit more creative. This is a defense in Houston that gave up 2 touchdowns to the Chiefs last week, and Kelsey, of course.
Right.
But you seem to think that Cam is perhaps throwing the ball more consistently and less erratically than perhaps ever.
I do. And you have to remember, they're a schemed offense, John. They're going to do all the option elements. They have multiple option elements in their offense. So they create some difficulties for defenses tactically. And that's really what they do. Now, Newton did make some big-time throws. He hit Ted Ginn for 37 yards on a third down last week. It was a really good throw. He made a couple of plays off movement as well, which he always brings to the table. But I think overall he's been throwing the ball a little better. But the run game is a schemed run game, and it makes it tough for you to defend it.
In terms of an advantage here potentially for the Panther offense, what are you seeing in terms of the Texan defense? They've got J.J. Watt. They don't have a great secondary, but any advantages you see here for Carolina with that diverse rushing attack and Cam Newton and all that, the multiple looks, any advantage potentially against Houston's D?
Well, that's the advantage, the scheme part. Now, they have to find a way to deal with J.J. Watt, and you have to change the way you play to deal with J.J. Watt. He's that good. So I'm real anxious to see what they do. There are 2 tackles. If they get into longer yardage situations, I think they're going to have a difficult time because their 2 tackles, Orr and Remmers, will struggle a bit in pass pro. They didn't run the ball real well out of their base runs, not their option runs, but their base runs.
Yeah. Some issues here, maybe potentially a linebacker, because I believe we talked about it last week in terms of those linebackers, Greg, for the Houston Texans. Not exactly the most athletic guys out there. Whitney Mercilus, Akeem Dent. Your thoughts there?
Well, then it gets down to how the Panthers want to run their pass offense. If they want to work Olsen in the middle of the field, which they certainly can do, then maybe they can take advantage of it. I think their issue is going to be like any team's issue, but it's made worse in Carolina, is if they get into longer yardage situations. I think if they stay away from that as much as they possibly can, they can at least sustain some offense and move the ball.
49ers at Steelers as we move along here. And look, if you're listening to the podcast and you did all summer, maybe you weren't floored by the performance of the 49ers, because Greg has been saying for a couple of weeks now that this defense may not be that bad, and they were lights out, Greg. I know you were really impressed by what you saw on Monday night. Let's talk about it here and kind of maybe relate it over to the Steelers in this matchup.
One of the best defenses I watched on film in week one in terms of what they did, how creative they were tactically, how well they played individually. And I thought they played with tremendous discipline and with great speed. And that's very rare you say that week one in the NFL. And I thought the Niners may have done that as well as any defense in the league week one. It was a top-notch performance, something I mentioned to you when we were just talking earlier. was I think their safeties are so critical. In Antoine Bethea and Eric Reed, they have two really good safeties, both very smart. They're both very versatile. They're interchangeable. And when you have two safeties like that, they can erase any problems, and they really allow your defense to do an awful lot of things.
And maybe someone would look at the Steelers and say, wow, they were terrible defending the forward pass on Thursday night. So maybe they open it up a little bit and get Vernon Davis the ball. Obviously, they gave up four touchdowns to tight ends last week. But, Greg, you don't think so. This is how they're going to play football. And talk about what you saw from Carlos Hyde and their approach, because that was quite revealing and astonishing, quite frankly. I mean, we all know Carlos Hyde had a lot of talent. I was not down on Hyde. I just wish I was a little higher on him because the vibes were not very good offensively here. But talk about what you see their identity being this year.
Oh, they have an identity on offense and on defense. On offense, they're going to run the ball. And they came out, John, in three tight end sets. In fact, 28 snaps in the game, they had three tight ends on the field, John. I don't recall ever seeing that in recent years. And they were really effective running the ball. They pounded. They want to be the hammer, the sledgehammer. That's the way they want to play. And what that does is it plays to Kaepernick's strengths. There's boot action. There's some read option. They minimize his limitations. And if they can play games like that, now not every game is going to be 20-3, but if they can play games like that, then Carlos Hyde will be a big factor on a weekly basis.
Yeah, and Reggie Bush, I don't think he's going to play this week, and it didn't take long for him to get injured. So Carlos Hyde better gear up. He better gear up for 300 plus carries here, Greg. He's going to get all the work that he can handle, and he's built for it. That's for sure. Fresh legs and looking good, no question about it. Number one fantasy back, as far as I'm concerned, for now. And Pittsburgh on the other side here. How challenging of a matchup is this? I look at their offense, and D'Angelo looked great, but much tougher test this week. Heath Miller may have some struggles here. I'm not exactly seeing him doing well against his defense. And, of course, they do need Martavis Bryant, because we just can't count on Marcus Wheaton, and we sure as hell can't count on Darius Haywood Bey. I mean, Antonio Brown can only do so much.
I thought Ben, though, was great against New England, and I know they lost, and I know they didn't put up a ton of points, but I thought that he was really poised and composed in the pocket. I thought he made a lot of really good throws late in the down by staying patient. And normally we don't associate Ben with that, although he's gotten so much better at that later in his career, to the point where he's really good at it. I would not expect D'Angelo Williams to put up the numbers he did against New England, against the 49ers. I'd be very surprised if he did that.
Yeah, we had him in our top 20 last week, heading into the week. And then this week, I think he's barely in our top 30 here. In fact, let me check that out real quick. That bothers me. I forgot where we have him. Let's see. Yeah, I have him at 26. I got to reassess that maybe and knock him down a little bit. But I think we had him at like 19 last week. It was a little higher. I know, Greg, you're every Wednesday, you're sitting there tapping your finger, waiting for the Fantasy Guru rankings of the week. I know that's a big
part of your process. I can't go to sleep until I hear that, John.
That's part of your process as you break down.
That's right.
Let's move on. And you got Tampa at New Orleans next on the docket. And look, you watch the tape. You're just keeping it real, as the kids say, and you have some concerns here in Tampa, namely due to speed or lack thereof, some offensive line issues as well. This doesn't look like a good football team in 2015, Greg.
No, it does not. I'd be a little concerned right now. It's early in the season. We don't want to do the overreaction, but some things won't change. Number one, they don't have any speed on defense. That's not going to change. They don't have a pass rusher. Not likely to change. Now, I think their O-line will get better simply because they're starting two rookies, and they're likely to improve. But at this point, that's a bad mix for Jameis Winston, because Jameis Winston is not the kind of quarterback that can make an O-line, an average to below average O-line, better, because he's not a quick-footed guy. He needs to be protected well and effectively, and if he's not, he's going to struggle.
I notice in previous years with Doug Martin, I kind of could be off base, but I kind of felt like he needed to get some help, kind of throw to set up the run. I remember his rookie year, he was kind of slow off the mark here, averaging like 3 yards a carry. And then all of a sudden, Josh Freeman started hitting some plays down the field. Things started hooking up here. But you seem to think, and you do think, that this it's critical for Doug Martin to run, to set up the pass. And Doug, maybe not on the stat sheet, but he looked good again in week one.
No, I thought he looked very good. Obviously, he didn't get the carries they wanted because of the way the game played out. But I think they're a run to set up the pass team. I think that's the way they want to play. Although they've got some concerns with Jameis about that, because Jameis is not a real comfortable player under center. His footwork's not very good. He almost has to gather to set. He's probably a better shotgun quarterback, and that changes your run game a little bit. So they're going to be a really interesting team to watch, John, going forward. I'm really anxious to see what they do with Jameis Winston. He's going to have to become quicker, and how much quicker he can become, that remains to be seen.
Yeah, he's going to be in the dome here on the turf this week against New Orleans. But that defense there for the Saints, this is hardly a shutdown group here, Greg. Do you think that maybe they can find some success? It looks like they're going to get Mike Evans back. Keenan Lewis been out for the Saints. I don't see a pass rush here. So, you know, maybe based on matchup, they have a chance to have some success.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think it's a defense that needs to do a lot of scheming to make up and compensate for some issues. But they're going against a Bucs offense that we spoke about. So, you know, I don't know. I would not expect the Bucs offense to put up big numbers in this game.
For the Saints, they're getting the ball to the running backs for sure. C.J. Spiller returned to practice. Looks like he's going to play, and that could pose a lot of problems, Greg. Levante David is fast, but you're saying everybody else here on this defense a little sluggish. How else would you attack Tampa if you're Drew Brees and no Jimmy Graham? And do you get the ball in the middle of the field to maybe a little Marcus Colston, the tight ends?
Well, I think what you want to do is design your offense to attack the Bucs' safeties. The Bucs are a slow defense that doesn't rush the quarterback well, and their safeties are problematic. And I think one thing Sean Payton has always been good at, and the game's in the dome, is he finds ways to exploit your weaknesses on defense. And whether that's with Marcus Colston working the middle of the field, whether it's with the tight end, whether it's tight splits with Brandon Cooks, which I would absolutely expect to see in this game, Cooks tight to the formation, so when his vertical stem takes him two safeties, I would absolutely expect to see that.
Moving on to Detroit at Minnesota, shocking performance there by the Viking defense. Let's start there. Is this a case of they just got their asses whooped 1 week and they should be okay? Or do the Vikings maybe have some problems defensively?
I think they'll be okay. I think that they struggled last week against a really physical run-first team, so I think that caused them some problems. I don't think that's what they're going to get this week from Detroit. I think they'll be better. But yeah, they certainly struggled. I think the bigger question for Minnesota, quite honestly, John, is offensively. They came out last week. Obviously, it was Adrian Peterson's first game in a while. They did not really establish any kind of run game. They spread it out. They tried to throw the ball. Teddy Bridgewater did not have a good game at all. He was really undisciplined. He was falling away from throws. He doesn't have the arm to make up for that. He needs to be a very disciplined, very efficient player. He was not last week at all.
Yeah, they seemed a little shocked here, a little shell-shocked playing in San Fran. Teddy was playing fast, and I kind of go back to the O-line, though. It seemed like they were resorting to passing to set up the run, which sounds insane because it's Adrian Peterson, but yeah, you know, they have not opened up holes for the running attack here this year, and
no.
Load hole is gone, and John Sullivan is their best offensive lineman, Greg.
Yeah, and by the time they decided that they wanted to run the ball a little bit, which was really in the second half, yeah, the game wasn't necessarily out of hand, but the flow of the game had changed. So it wouldn't surprise me if they came back this week and they really started to try to run the ball. See, the running game is a process, John. You can't run once and get 1 yard and say, okay, we can't run the ball. You know, so we'll see. I think that Bridgewater needs a run game. I think he's ultimately that kind of quarterback.
And Phil Rivers completed 35 passes.
He's pretty good.
35, Greg. My God, and like 31 of them, I think, were to Keenan Allen. But of course, we're exaggerating. But you would think, based on this matchup for Minnesota, it is in Minnesota, that they're going to settle down and that Teddy Bridgewater has a much easier matchup this week against the Lions.
Relatively speaking, nothing's easy. But, I mean, relatively speaking, I think this will be a different matchup, quite honestly. I think that, you know, he faced a really difficult defense tactically last week with San Francisco. Very creative, very sophisticated, very detailed. The Lions do not play defense that way. It's not as easy just to say they line up and play, but they're nowhere near as multiple as the 49ers.
I know you didn't see the Lion tape just yet, so we'll kind of cover them as we move along here, and you'll start to gain a real understanding of all 32 defenses as we get a week or two or three under our belt. So we'll move on to the Arizona Cardinals and the Chicago Bears. I know you did see the Bear defense, and they did a lot better than I thought they would here. Greg, your thoughts on what you saw on that side of the ball for Chicago?
There were another defense that I think I mentioned to you. I know I've talked to other people about that. I thought they'd be a little better than people thought. And I think they're certainly a work in progress. And there's no question they have some weaknesses and some flaws. That's no question about that. But I think their front seven, as time progresses, will end up being pretty solid. I think where you can attack them is when they're in their nickel, you can attack Alan Ball on the outside and Shedrick McManus in the slot. So I think they do have areas you can attack. But I think they played pretty well this week against Aaron Rodgers. That Green Bay offense did not really develop a rhythm in the pass game. And I think this is a defense that will continue to get better under Vic Fangio, who is one of the best.
Yeah, but Carson Palmer was pretty damn good last week. Larry Fitzgerald playing well, and maybe Larry Fitzgerald, Greg, you just mentioned attacking the Bear secondary inside, and that's kind of where Larry is doing his dirty work these days.
Yeah, and I think that's an area, as I mentioned, of concern. And I think that's they'll target Shedrick McManus in the slot. And they're also starting a rookie at safety in Adrian Amos from Penn State, who, I thought played okay, but I thought he had some problems with what we say eye discipline and what he was seeing and when he was seeing it. So I think that Bruce Arians, who's, you know, one of the best in the league at designing offense and certainly designing the pass game, I think he will attack that.
Yeah, and John Brown is clearly coming on here, no question. I think maybe we'll get a little bit more out of Michael Floyd. And doesn't look great for Andre Ellington, but not yet ruled out. And hey, here we go with Chris Johnson.
Chris Johnson.
He's back. And he'll play, Greg, because they understand he's experienced and knows what the hell he's doing out there in pass protection. And in some ways, it's not a bad fit. You know, Bruce Arians is not a run-heavy guy. And Chris Johnson and Andre Ellington do have some similarities.
Theoretically, yes. And, you know, again, as part of an offense in which he's a complement, I think Chris Johnson can still, I don't want to say be a factor because who knows, but I think that this kind of offense works for him. He's way past the point where you're going to line him up and say carry the ball 20 times, but maybe a screen, maybe a design play, almost like that David Johnson touchdown last week, a clearly designed play in a specific situation.
Yeah. And Chicago offensively, we know they want to take the ball out of Jay Cutler's hands here and make Matt Forte a big key. But as you noted, they're going to go with a lot of three wide receiver sets here as well and do that and spread out the defense. Man, that certainly worked against Green Bay.
It sure did. And Forte was really effective carrying the ball out of 11 personnel, three wide receivers. I would not expect them to veer away from that if the game is close. And the game against Green Bay was pretty much close the whole way. You know, Forte had 24 carries. If they're playing close games, I think he's going to get 20-plus carries a week.
Probably going to see Patrick Peterson shadowing Alshon Jeffrey. So
I would think.
You think there may be an opportunity for someone else? And I don't know about Eddie Royal's health. Marcus Wilson did make a play, but then you always have Martellus Bennett, old man reliable. We know that Tyrann Mathieu is a pretty good player, but you know, I think Marty Bennett is a pretty big key to the game plan here, throwing the football yet again, maybe every week, Greg.
Marty, good friend of yours, is he?
That's right. No, I have met him. I've interviewed him on set, and I actually told him I call him Marty, and he was okay with it.
Okay, good, because I wouldn't want him to hurt you, John.
He's a big Back to the Future fan, so he's okay with Marty.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Marty McFly, as I recall, correct?
That is very correct. Yep.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Do you know who can you name the actor who played George McFly?
Oh, I can't.
Crispin Glover.
There you go. That's right. Now I remember. But we digress. But I think Bennett is always a factor, particularly in this offense, the way they want to play. I think he becomes a much bigger factor. I don't think they want to throw the ball too much on the perimeter if they can avoid it, if the game can play out that way. So, we'll see. But I think Bennett, you're right. I think he's a weekly key player for the Bear offense.
New England at Buffalo, and your thoughts? Rex Ryan has done well against New England at times, but then again, I don't know if the 85 Bears can stop Tom Brady throwing nothing but 7-yard passes, matriculating the ball down the field.
Well, I think you're in a situation right now. Look, coaches coach against coaches. That's the way it works. Rex Ryan is a guy who's been able to generate good pressure on Tom Brady and obviously the protection. He's outstanding at showing you one thing and then doing something else to break down your protection. Now, Brady's obviously had good games against Rex, too. I mean, we're dealing with Tom Brady. But it's been a very good chess match over the years. There clearly have been times where Rex has been successful with his scheming and his great blitz concepts. But the thing that must go along with that is you must prevent Brady from making throws early in the down, those quick rhythm throws that he mastered against Pittsburgh and is really good at. So I would expect the Bills to pressure and to try to take away the early in the down throws. Because if you give Brady those throws, the pressure is meaningless.
I know Bill Belichick was really complimentary of their defensive front. They did what they did last week, Greg, without Marcell Dareus. Okay. So he's returning.
That is correct. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, and say what you want about Bill. You know, Bill, he doesn't just say stuff unless he believes it. He's way past that point. You know, he doesn't just say everybody's great, as we all know. I mean, he knows that Rex Ryan, as a defensive coach and the talent that they have, that is a difficult match. It is really a challenge.
So you might as well abandon the run? What are your thoughts on might they do that?
I don't think they're going to run the ball really effectively. I mean, can they have a run, let's say a surprise-type run, you know, maybe a draw play-type run here and there, but I don't think they're going to line up and be successful running, you know, zone or running gap scheme runs. I don't think that's going to happen.
By the way, your thoughts on what you saw out of Deion Lewis? I mean, they just plugged him on in there, and he was pretty darn good, a pretty dynamic guy. I mean, he's clearly in the lead for that Shane Vereen role, and there's talk of working him in with LeGarrette Blount. I don't think he'll get more than 6-7 carries a game here, but he caught 4 of his 5 targets, Greg. I thought he looked good.
Now, is Blount back this week?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Oh, okay. Because I think, you know, I don't think Lewis is the kind of back you're going to run a lot against the Bills.
No. Right.
You know, I think he would move more into the role you suggested. Whereas when they do run it, I think Blount is more of the guy you'd want to use in this game.
Now, for the Bills, they're looking pretty good here. The O-line, maybe not dominant, hardly, but I think they're a little bit better, although LeSean McCoy's yard per carry average last week would disagree. But, you know, Tyrod Taylor, we can't say anything but good things about this kid. He's in complete command. He's not playing fast. The game's not too big for him. He throws a catchable ball. He's accurate. And I love the fact that he's looking to win from the pocket first and foremost, and he's always got that mobility and the running ability in his back pocket. And look, the Patriot defense, Greg, they were bad against the run. The Steelers kind of gashed them, and that's without Marquise Pouncey at center. So this might be a decent matchup for Buffalo.
Yeah, and I agree with what you said about Taylor. I mean, he's been very poised, very composed. He's not a frenetic player. He doesn't look to escape the pocket. He doesn't break down. And I think he made a couple of big-time throws, a one on third down to Robert Woods where there was pressure right in his face, and he was oblivious to the pressure. And that's what you'll look for with a quarterback in the NFL because you're going to get pressure. Now, obviously, they want to run the ball. And I think they have an interesting complement in Carlos Williams, the Florida State rookie, who's sort of the hammer here. He's a big kid, about 235 pounds. And I think McCoy's the shifty, good – and McCoy will gain more yards as the season progresses. But I think that Williams is a very interesting hammer for their offense.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be shocked at all if he ended up having like a yard per carry more than McCoy, because I do have some concerns about him, you know, bouncing runs and dancing, and those holes are not going to be open very long here. And Fred Jackson's gone. Bryce Brown was cut this week. Bobby Dixon, yeah, keep him around for special teams, spot duty, goal line maybe. But, you know, clearly Carlos Williams is the number two running back here. I think he's going to get touches every week. He looked good. Let's move on to San Diego at Cincinnati. And, you know, for the listeners out there who listened to me and actually utilized Michael Rivera last week, who did diddly squat, I will explain. And I will also say that, hey, Marcel Reese scored two touchdowns, Greg. That's what I was looking at. These Bengal linebackers, they're kind of the liability for this defense. And this week, that bodes really well for Danny Woodhead, maybe a little Ladd Green as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, San Diego is they're a really interesting offense. I mean, you know, obviously, I thought Melvin Gordon last week, and the yards didn't reflect it, but I thought he ran way better than he did in the preseason, and it was a real positive step forward, I thought. But they're so good with Rivers in the gun, with Woodhead in the backfield, that I think you have to be careful with how you deal with Melvin Gordon. Because, you know, it's not a case of, hey, let's just give it to Gordon 20 times and that's our offense. They can't take Woodhead off the field that much. He's too good. He's a better inside runner than you think, given his size. And boy, does he pose problems in the pass game.
Yeah, and exactly. And look, I think we did handle Gordon well in the preseason. We kind of mapped it out there, and we explained that, look, this kid is not exactly ready for prime time. Forget about the college tape. But that said, as you mentioned, he's hardly a lost cause. So basically,
no.
Greg, you know, in a month or so, you know, they could be really cooking with some gas here with Woodhead and Melvin Gordon.
Very possible. Very possible. I mean, you know, I love what they do in their play action pass game out of shotgun with Woodhead. They really suck linebackers in. Rivers is so good. He's such a quick reader of where to go with the football. I mean, this is a difficult offense, I think, to play against. And we saw what Keenan Allen did last week. They still have, you know, the guy who I don't know if we've talked much about him, but I'm telling you, I think he's a critical player. And if I didn't mention him in the preseason, I always wanted to, and maybe I didn't get around to it. But I think Stevie Johnson is going to be a really valuable piece to their offensive puzzle.
No question. And Greg, we got you covered on that one, because we gave him plenty of love at fantasyguru.com. Did Stevie Johnson, perfect fit here, inside outside versatility. He can replace Eddie Royal. Hell, he can replace Malcolm Floyd if need be. He can start for Keenan Allen. Ladarius Green, any I forgot, did you watch that tape?
I watched plays, and I thought, you know, again, He's a function in many ways of how well they scheme. He catches crossers off play action. He caught the touchdown off a beautifully designed red zone play where they faked to Woodhead and the linebacker sucked up. So at this point, he's really effective when they scheme him really well. But that's what they do.
Yeah, plus they're going to get Antonio Gates back just three more games here. So they're looking good here despite not making any big earth-shattering moves other than Stevie in free agency in the passing attack. For the Bengals, your thoughts on this matchup here? And I'm not sure about it. I think that San Diego's got a pretty good defense, Greg. I'm not feeling a big game here from Andy Dalton. We know they run the football. That's the foundation. They did find a nice little 1-2 punch there with Gio. And, you know, A.J. Green did drop a touchdown pass, Tyler Eifert. I mean, this should be a fairly close game. I'm not sure we're going to see a ton of scoring here, though. Could happen, but who knows?
Well, it won't be the same game for Andy Dalton and the offense as it was against Oakland last week, I'll tell you that. It'll be a little different. It'll be a little harder. I mean, Oakland really struggled with a lot of their zone concepts. Tyler Eifert was wide open. I don't think that'll happen anywhere near as much, although he is an impressive athlete, John, as you know. You've pretty much been all over him because we've talked about him. And I think you'll be right on that for most of the season. But this is a much tougher matchup. I think they present a lot more in terms of tactics and individual players. Melvin Ingram, to me, is becoming a pretty darn good player.
Yeah, no doubt. And we like the secondary, the pretty talented group back there. And let's move on to Tennessee at Cleveland. And obviously things are going very well for Marcus Mariota. Where are you with him in terms of previewing him? It's so early in the game. Are you still in week-to-week mode with Mariota?
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, everything he's shown thus far has been really, really positive.
Yeah, of course you're in week-to-week mode with a rookie quarterback. Last week was really a beautifully designed offensive performance by Ken Whisenhunt and staff against a bad defense. You got to keep that in mind. Now, yeah. Mariota still executed really well, so you love that. He made a couple of big-time throws, one on third down, one on second down, where he had to come off a receiver and go to a secondary receiver. He showed a ton of positives. He's going to play a defense that presents far more challenges. Mike Pettine is obviously from the Rex Ryan School of Defense, so he's going to see many more looks, many more disguised looks, and more pressure. And this will be a tougher game for Mariota.
Yeah, I'm not feeling a big one here. I'm thinking this could be a little ugly. Bishop Sankey comes through for fantasy, but he's hardly out of the woods in terms of arriving, I would think. And they gave Terrence West double-digit touches, so to me that's fairly revealing. Did you see anything out of Sankey this weekend?
You know, I think Sankey's been running better this year. Now, he's still not a feature back, but sure. I think in an offense that is going to end up being pretty multiple, both with the use of two backs, in which case West will be the guy because they did line up 17 times with a fullback. And in the three wide look, I think you'll see mostly Sankey, and I think he's been running better.
Yeah, a little bit better, but I think they want to inside thumper a little bit more.
Oh yeah, Sankey's not a thumper.
Right. Thus, the drafting of David Cobb, who's on IR, designated return, and of course the bringing in of Terrence West for Cleveland. They're a disaster to me, Greg. It's a horrendous receiving core. It's just absolute. Well, you know what? I won't even use the word because it's too disparaging. But your thoughts on John Football? And I was fairly encouraged. I thought, oh wow, look at this in the preseason. Maybe he's taken to this a little bit and not looking to run all the time and doing some progressions. But you got some limitations physically. You got some elbow problems. And then last week, the longer he was in there, Greg, the worse he got.
Well, you see a glimpse here and there, John, that he may be improving. But you're right. I mean, there's too many bad plays. He's not overly talented. So ultimately, a quarterback like that needs to be a precision player in everything he does. He needs to play with great intelligence, be very smart all the time. I mean, think of the two shorter quarterbacks in the league. You think of Drew Brees, and he's not Drew Brees. And then you think of Russell Wilson. A lot of people made that comparison, but he's not as gifted as either one of those guys physically. So you're dealing with a short, undersized quarterback who's not particularly gifted as a thrower. And so there's a certain ceiling here. Now, I think, can he improve? Sure, he can improve, because anybody can improve at the mental part of the game with the proper work and doing all the right things. But I just wonder if there's a ceiling there, because physically he's just not that gifted.
Atlanta at the Giants, and your impression of the Falcon defense? They were certainly flying all over the place there in Dan Quinn's debut at the Georgia Dome. Granted, they gave up some production here, but I think that fair to say that this is no longer what we call a get-well defense, that you just start everybody against the Falcons. Not sure that's the case, Greg.
No, I thought, I don't think they've got a ton of talent, but I thought they played really well. And I think they played with great discipline, and that's Dan Quinn. That's don't forget, this team's really in a rebuilding mode a little bit. Yes, they have a top-level quarterback, but for the most part, new coach, a little bit of rebuilding. But I thought, again, a tribute to Dan Quinn and staff, they play defensively with great, great discipline. And when you play with great discipline within your schemes, you can hold teams. You can play well defensively, and that's what they did.
My man Roddy White, I thought, should have had a touchdown early in the game for Matt Ryan, but he made a bad throw. It happens. But people were questioning about whether or not he can run anymore. But I don't know if you have any thoughts there, but I thought he looked like Roddy White. I'm not sure he can line up on the outside on an island and consistently win, but he does such great dirty work inside. He's so savvy in between the numbers, and I think that's going to continue. I thought he looked good.
They did some really good things offensively, John, and I think they'll continue to do it. They were really effective out of their base 21 personnel with two backs and a tight end. Matt Ryan was terrific throwing the ball from that. They max protected with eight, and they had two receiver routes, Jones and White, and they were able to really work across the field and win, and they were very effective throwing the ball that way. And Tevin Coleman, I thought, ran really hard. I thought he was a finisher. I thought he showed really good downhill instincts. He looked better in that game, and it's one game, but he looked better than I thought he might be coming out of Indiana, but I was impressed.
Yeah, very impressed, Greg. And it's just frustrating for me because I just wanted to see the guy in this scheme. And I spent some time with Mike Shanahan this summer in Vegas at an event. And he said, look, you know, they drafted him. They clearly feel that he's going to be a good fit for the scheme there for his son, Kyle. But Greg, it only took about five carries last night or whatever night that was, Monday night. To me, I mean, first of all, he's just bigger than Freeman. But it was very obvious that he's a much better fit here. And he's going to be the guy.
He is going to be the guy. That's why they drafted him.
Yeah, and they'll use Freeman. They'll give him just, you know, if you got Freeman, you know, this is what you can hope for. 5-6 carries and a lot of their third down work. You know, three, four.
And he should have caught a touchdown pass that Matt Ryan underthrew when they had him on a wheel route matched against Connor Barwin, and he beat Barwin, and Matt underthrew it.
Yep. The Giants here, and they're a little shaky, obviously. Once again, second year in a row. Odell Beckham Jr., it feels like he's kind of a marked man, all eyes on him. How critical do you think it is for these guys to get Victor Cruz back in the field? Doesn't look like that's going to happen in week two.
You know, sure, it's critical. He will certainly help them. You know, when you add a quality receiver, particularly a very good slot receiver, which is ultimately what I think he'll be now. So it will certainly help them. I thought... You know, I thought the Giant offense actually was not bad at all. I thought there was a rhythm to the pass game. The ball was coming out. You know, I think that's an offense that will continue to improve. They just don't have, you know, a back that you feel really good about on a week-to-week basis.
Just so you know, Greg, breaking news. In the FantasyGuru.com Dynasty League, in which we get to keep all of our players forever, I just dropped Colin Kaepernick for Tyrod Taylor. I'm done with Kaepernick, Greg.
I know. Wow.
Yeah.
So if you get to keep your players forever, where do you stand on Jim Brown?
That's a good one. Well,
just came to mind. Sorry.
He almost came back out of retirement when he was about 40. Remember that? And I was excited there. But no, I still have him on ice, if you will. Yeah, we can keep these guys forever. And I'm not expecting him to be a beast, but I'm done with Kaepernick. But anyway, we move on. And so that's good. You thought the Giant offense was a little bit better and some opportunities here in this game. Let's move on. How scary is this matchup for the Washington Redskins against the Rams? And I look at the Rams, and we all know about that front seven, and maybe they're getting a little bit better on the back end as well. We love the safeties. This is frightening stuff, I think, for Kirk Cousins.
Well, this is the game that will tell you what the Rams are in early in the season. Not that week two determines their whole season, but they're coming off a very impressive win. They're going on the road, and they're better than the Washington Redskins. And this is a game they have to win. And I thought that they played offensively very, very well in a game-specific matchup against the Seattle defense. I think, you know, is Trey Mason supposed to be back? I think somebody's supposed to be back this week.
Trey Mason is back at practice, Greg, and guess who else is practicing fully? Todd Gurley this week.
Well, they said he's not going to play till week four, but that could change, obviously. But if they can get, you know, Benny Cunningham ran hard last week, and he's a hard runner, but obviously he's not the back Mason or Gurley is. So if they can get that element, which is what they wanted, but I thought they designed some really good pass plays, and Nick Foles threw the ball pretty darn well last week. Their O-line is a little bit uneven, a little up and down. Greg Robinson is still struggling a bit. They played a great defensive line, so you would expect that with young guys. They start two rookies. But defensively is where this team hangs its hat, and Aaron Donald is quickly becoming one of the three best interior D linemen in the NFL, and he'll probably be the best, 3 technique by the end of the season, if not sooner. You know, this is a game where they really should dominate up front, dominate with their front seven. And even if their offense is not great, let's say, you know, it's a road game and they're not great, the Redskins in this game should not really score more than 10 points.
Alfred Morris did get 25 carries last week. He actually did look good. So
He did.
He holds off the rookie Matt Jones. Of course, in our world for fantasy, you know, I thought, oh, God, I undersold Alfred Morris. Well, we did in the preseason. We basically buried him, and we'll see if that works out. But I kind of buried him in our rankings, and then I look, and I was like, all right, let's see what I projected him for. 12.1 points. What do you get? 12.2? Okay, so I was a tenth of a point off, and that's the problem in the fantasy world. He just doesn't catch the football, and he rarely scores. Moving on, I know you didn't see the Redskin defense yet, so we'll hold off there, and we'll see about the Ram rushing attack, and we'll obviously cover it and see what happens in practice the rest of the week, but it looks like at least Trey Mason's returning. Miami at Jacksonville, I don't think you had a chance to see the Dolphins, but you did see the Jaguars, and some real concerns. We've got the Dolphins. Let me tell you this, Greg. We have the Dolphin defense for fantasy, looking for sacks and fumble recoveries and turnovers, touchdowns, all that. We've got the Dolphins defense, Greg, at 2 this week. Is that a wise move? St. Louis.
I mean, look, when you watch Jacksonville, you look at their offensive tackles, and they really struggle in pass pro. Luke Jokel on the left, Parnell on the right, really having a hard time in pass pro. You know, Bortles has to be really strong, play really, really well for this team to have a chance to win. I thought their most impressive offensive player last week was Yeldon running the football. You know, he only had, I think, 12 carries. I wonder what their plan is, if they'd like to get him up to 20. I think ultimately they have to work off him right now.
Yeah, I thought that Denard Robinson, I was told that Denard Robinson was going to be a big factor early in the year, but maybe the last week or two, Yeldon really showed them something in practice. I know they do like him, and they do view him as a three-down back, and I think that bodes well that he out-snapped him and out-touched him and even had twice as many targets.
I thought he did a really good job too in pass protection, and that was critical. That's how guys play.
And he's a bigger body.
Without question.
And that helps. Have you ever met that kid, TJ Yeldon, by the way?
I have not.
Oh, he seems like a really nice kid.
I've heard that. I've heard that.
Yeah, he really does. I only met him briefly at the combine, but anyways, we any thoughts here on Miami's offense? And look, I was a big Tannehill guy as a great value at quarterback. It's not the end of the world if he's a little shaky here as a ninth round pick, but a little disconcerting in week one. And I also give credit to the Redskin defense. You know, do you think that this is a matchup where, you know, they can get rolling a little bit? I mean, I'm not disrespecting the Jag defense, though. That's why I'm asking, because they're not horrible.
You know, that's a great question. I think the Jag defense is actually a little better than people think. They play with discipline. I really like their nickel linebackers, and I think they'll be in nickel most of the game against Miami's predominant three wide personnel packages. So it's Pozlesny and Smith. I think they're quick. They're active. They're smart. Smith is a really good athlete. So, you know, I think their defense is a solid defense that just lacks the pass rush. They do not have a pass rusher that you feel good about.
And by the way, we gave love to a guy who I don't think anyone in America gave love to heading into week one outside of the Jacksonville area, Greg, and he had 13 targets and a touchdown, 7 grabs, that being Rashad Green. You like him.
I told you about him, I think, a week or so ago, did I not?
Well, you did. That's why we do it.
There you go. There you go. And he actually dropped a ball, too, that he should have caught, which would have gone down to about the 2-yard line and would have been a big play in the game. But he's their slot guy, as I knew he would be.
You know, when you really look forward here, they could still be okay. If Yeldon's the real deal and they can hang their hat on that, then they get Julius Thomas back. Let's get Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
Let's get Marquise Lee going. Allen Robb. I mean, there are weapons here potentially, Greg, down the road.
Yeah, and if they can run the ball better and run on early downs, they can at least protect that O-line a little bit on the edges.
And they made Toby and Gerhardt inactive, I believe, last week, which, boy, that's a That's a long way off from week one last year when he was the feature back. Baltimore at Oakland, and I think we can throw that performance out last week. Although it does shine a brighter light on the big issue that I've been harping on, and that's that they're really light right now, Greg, in terms of weaponry. This team really needs Breshad Perriman on the outside for one, and it would be nice to get Max Williams back. I mean, they're kind of hurting right now, Greg.
And with the total inability to run the ball last week against Denver, that really shut down their offense. It was really they don't have much. If they can't run the ball, John, right now without Perriman, without any real weapons, they can't do anything.
Yeah, no, look, I like Forsett a lot, who, by the way, popped up on the injury report with a shoulder tonight. But I thought he'd get a million checkdowns. Now, he did get seven, but they start actually producing with those checkdowns. But, yeah, it's kind of scary, but I think all will be well this week against the Raiders. I know you were, you know, saying some fairly positive things about them.
Yeah, I was surprised, and I think Jack Del Rio, if you saw his press conference, I think he was a little bit surprised too. I expected them to be better on defense, and it's week one, but they did not play well, and they were not real disciplined, particularly in their zone concepts. It was not a good performance. And I guess, is Derek Carr not going to play this week?
No, he's going to go. Looks like he's going to go.
Oh, he's going to go. Okay, yeah, okay, good.
That's good, because they're screwed, because Matt McGloin.
Yeah, he needs all the reps he can get.
Yeah, he is expected to play this per Raiders.com at 7:03 Eastern on Wednesday evening. So thank God, because Matt McGloin is not the answer for the Oakland Raiders. I mean, Captain Checkdown over here, Matt McGloin. Although our man Latavius are... maybe not your guy, but although you're the first, you're the first one, Greg, to clue me in on Latavius, actually.
Well, because I watched him in college.
Exactly. And that was the spring of 2003. And I'm like, I went and I looked, and I'm like, this guy is huge and he can run. So I kind of gravitate to him. And, you know, look, it's going to be a tough go here. But Roy Helu is dead right now, and Latavius did get seven grabs, and he's good in pass pro, Greg. I think he's going to continue to be on the field and you know, catch a ton of balls here.
Well, you can't really look at last week's game to figure out how their offense will be. That was just one of those games, hopefully for them. So it's hard to get a real feel for what they're going to do.
Dallas at Philly. When you look at the Eagle offense, do you see some deficiencies perhaps in the passing game? We all love Jordan Matthews. And I don't know if any website ranked him higher this year for fantasy. We had him at like 9 wide receiver. But what else is here?
Yeah, it's a quick tempo, quick rhythm, get the ball out pass game that does not really have any vertical dimension. Now, hey, they'll have games where they look great and people will say, and I get this, that, hey, they don't need that dimension. But then there are some games where you need a vertical dimension. You could argue Monday night against Atlanta was one of those games. You know, and I think they expect Nelson Aguilar to be that guy. He played a good amount of snaps Monday night. He was not a factor in the game. I'm not sure he is that guy. They think so, I believe. But I think when you don't have the vertical dimension somewhere along the line, I think it just makes it harder, John.
All right, so if it's not Aguilar, you know who it's got to be, I think. How about little Zach Ertz? Let's get this guy the ball down the field, because this time last year, he kind of looked like the guy.
But I don't think he's fast enough to be that guy. I mean, I think he's a good route runner. I think he's a savvy route runner. I think he's got good hands. I don't like, for instance, you watch Ertz and then you look at Tyler Eifert, and you know Tyler Eifert is a far more athletic mover. I don't think Ertz is ultimately that guy.
Yeah, Tyler Eifert looks like a wide receiver out there running routes.
Yeah, yeah.
And this matchup here against Dallas, look, this time last year, maybe 380 days ago, before they opened the 2014 season, we're all laughing at the Cowboy defense. Well, we're not really laughing anymore. I'm not saying it's a shutdown group, but they're average at worst. I mean, they held up pretty well on the back end. They've got speed, and, you know, it's a shame about Randy Gregory, but they're going to get Greg Hardy back. They have a pass rush.
Yeah, I think their defense is a little better than people think, particularly in their nickel. I think Lee and Hitchens are really quick linebackers, and I think that even they played some dime and they keep Lee on the field. This defense is a little better than people think. You know, not dominant, but same thing you saw week one, just what you saw last year. They play fast and they fly to the ball.
How do they match up with the Eagles?
Well, again, what you do with the Eagles is you line up and you play mostly because of the Eagles' speed tempo, and I think Dallas will be used to it. They played him twice with Rod Marinelli, or maybe even more. I forget when Marinelli got there, but I think they did much better the second time, and I think they'll match up okay. Now, the Eagles are one of those teams, John. Any given week, they can put up 35 and look great, but then we also know, you know, keep one thing in mind about the Eagles. Their last five games, they're 1-4.
Wow. What'd you think of Bradford overall?
Solid. I thought he was solid. I thought he took the throws that were there. You know, this is a short passing game. They gave him a lot of those throws, and you got to take those throws. You know, for the most part, when you throw the ball 50 times or drop back 50 times, not every play is going to be pristine. But for the most part, I thought he was very solid.
Yeah, I think he's going to feed the ball to Jordan Matthews. I also feel like, you know, Darren Sproles is going to keep this up because of Bradford with his excellent touch timing and anticipation. That seems like a nice combination there with Sproles.
Right. Well, and in all honesty, they're going to have to run the ball, and that's not a profound statement, but they're going to have to run the ball.
Yeah. How about the Cowboys? Sans Dez Bryant. I talked a lot this summer about, I was a little worried about Romo being so reliant on one player, and I did love Jason Witten. We talked him up.
Right.
All year, and boy, he's off to a good start. Man, he's going to get a boatload of targets now. Dunbar, go ahead.
I think what you're going to see in this game, and I'm not suggesting Witten's going to be shut out, but I think you're going to see that the Eagles do a lot of different things to get two defenders on him, and I think they're going to make this a matchup of their corners against the Cowboys' wideouts, because when Bryant got hurt, the wideouts were Terrence Williams and Devin Street, and I think that even though Maxwell did not have a good game last week, but he was going against a top five receiver in the league, they got him to play man-to-man. Carroll has had a pretty good training camp, and you know, he's been solid. I think they're going to make Romo have to throw it to Williams and Street to win. Now, one matchup to watch, I think, is Cole Beasley against Malcolm Jenkins, assuming the Eagles go with the same group in their nickel. I think that favors Cole Beasley.
Yeah, he's just too small and quick, right?
He's just too quick, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll get the ball and a little bit of Dunbar. I don't think Dunbar is going to have the PPR point per reception game that he had this past weekend, but he clearly needs to step up. And by the way, I thought Joseph Randle looked fine. I thought he made a couple of great catches, too.
Well, the one thing he doesn't have, which separates him, and is he doesn't have any natural power. He gets tackled by the first guy, but he's quick. He's a quicker runner than Murray. He just doesn't have power.
He runs hard, though. I thought he was.
Well, there's a difference. There's a difference between running hard and running powerfully. He runs hard. He just doesn't have any power.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Murray is a machine, though. I mean, comparing it, it's almost unfair because he's so big and strong. But yeah, I get it. And finally, real quick on Terrence Williams. Look, it's year three coming out of Baylor. He caught a boatload of balls there. I feel like I'm not sure he's up for the challenge here, but I feel like he's in a much better place now than he was, for example, even like last year, trying to sub here for Dez Bryant.
Well, you're going to find out because he's now going to have to win one-on-one against quality corners. And that's if you want to be that guy, which I'm sure he does, then now you have to do that. I mean, that's what it takes in the NFL. You have to win against quality corners.
Does he have route running and lateral limitations to be that number one?
I think he does, but we'll see. He's still a relatively young player.
Yeah. I mean, at least he's playing with a good quarterback in Tony Romo. So that'll be interesting to see. Seattle at Green Bay, and all of a sudden maybe these two teams on their strength side of the ball have some issues with Cam Chancellor in an ugly holdout right now, or Richard Sherman have the greatest of games. Let's talk about Seattle's D first as it matches up to Green Bay. Do you think we're going to see Sherman on Randall Cobb all day?
We could. I mean, look, Sherman played in the slot last week against the Rams. When they, in their 11, in their nickel package, he played in the slot, which, you know, he hasn't done a lot. He's done it at times, but it certainly wasn't sort of a steady diet. Last week in their nickel, he was the slot corner. Now, will they do the same thing this week? I mean, he's facing Randall Cobb. As much as we like Richard Sherman, and who doesn't as a corner, that's a very interesting matchup. Now, I thought Green Bay's offense last week was a little out of rhythm. You know, the numbers look.
As we move along here, Greg, can you hear me, sir?
I can.
Oh, there you go. Good. So let me ask you real quick before we have another breakout or breakthrough or whatever we call it, breaking the content there and the sound. How bad was that Packer run defense last week? And geez, yeah, that was awful.
The Packers struggle with their run defense in their nickel, and I think you're going to see Seattle do that. They're going to run the ball out of their out of three wide looks. They'll put Wilson in the gun to give the read option element to hold the backside of the defense, and they'll run the ball. They've been really effective running the ball that way against Green Bay.
And for the Packer offense, I'm a little concerned here. I mean, we're all feeling a little bit better with James Jones there, but, I mean, James Jones is just slightly faster than Adam Kaplan at this point, and that certainly helps that you've got chemistry there with Aaron Rodgers and the familiarity with the system, and he's a red zone beast, contested catches, back shoulder throws, all that stuff. But, you know, going forward, if you're facing Green Bay and you're trying to stop this passing attack, and is it just as simple as doubling up on Randall Cobb and daring like Davante Adams and James Jones in on the outside?
Well, that's what's going to be interesting about whether Richard Sherman stays in the slot. If he does, I don't think they'll double Cobb. I think they'll let Sherman play him. But right. I think going forward, and it might not reflect this week's matchup, I'm going to try to make Adams and James Jones win against man coverage. I know Jones made a couple of catches this week. I don't really think that's the kind of player he is on a consistent basis. I would think you take Cobb away. We need to find out if you're a defense, if Davante Adams, a second-round pick, can win against man coverage. Same conversation we just had about Terrence Williams.
Yeah, and you're not convinced that's not exactly a great sign here, because he did play significantly, but it's still fairly early. I kind of look at Richard Rodgers as maybe some sort of anecdote here to some of their problems, if they do have some problems. If that, do you think that maybe he can emerge?
Well, I guess we'll see how that goes. I mean, they have not used him vertically at all, you know, this year. Right. We'll see how it goes.
I mean, that's no JerMichael Finley, though, Greg. I mean,
right.
Not even close. I mean, remember that guy, how much the man crush we shared on this guy? I mean, the whole fantasyguru.com staff, man, we just Finley. God, he broke our hearts. Anyway, we're going to back those kind of guys, and we're going to sleep on them at what, because it's just, it has to be done. But we move on, and we talk to the, talk about the Jets and the Colts, and obviously, Indianapolis and Andrew Luck, all of a sudden, it's like I always say, if it seems too good to be true in the NFL, maybe it is. And, you know, it kind of seemed too good to be true with the Colts. You're bringing Andre Johnson and Frank Gore, and you draft Philip Dorsett, you're loaded. And all of a sudden, now things are starting to unravel already. And another really tough matchup and challenging matchup against the Jets. What do you do if you're Pep Hamilton? Do you go back to your roots and pound the rock a little bit?
I think they have to try to run it, John. I really do. And we all love Luck, and he's a great player, but they got blitzed an awful lot by the Bills. Todd Bowles will blitz them an awful lot. They have issues on their O-line. It's hard to play. It's hard to throw the ball an awful lot against constant pressure. And I think you have to try to stabilize your offense, calm down the defense, and you got to run the ball. And theoretically, that's why they signed Gore, did they not? I mean, they signed Gore to run the ball. Yeah. It's now time to try to do that. Todd Bowles blitzes everybody. He is not going to back off.
Yeah, and we didn't say last week, maybe it was just a lost game, it got away from them, but if it's Frank Gore getting 3 yards a carry, that's going to have to be good enough here to get some confidence back, I guess, offensively, and settle things down, because they're off to a poor start. And maybe the tight ends, we talked about it last week, maybe a little too tight end action, and that could be a weakness for the Jet defense if they have one. They're great against the run. We'll see about Kamali, but they got those corners. The middle of the field can be open against the Jets.
Teams that blitz a lot often leave the not by design, but often are vulnerable in the middle of the field. And I think, you know, you talked about the fact that the Cardinals were vulnerable under Todd Bowles with tight ends. You know, I think now with Bowles with the Jets, they could be vulnerable in the middle of the field.
We're all done, Greg. We've wrapped it up here. That's gonna do it. You get back into the film room and check out the matchup show on ESPN over the weekend. And you're hard at work there. Where do you tape that? When do you tape that, Greg? Tomorrow?
Fridays. No, Fridays, John. Yeah, Fridays now.
Friday mornings?
Friday mornings.
Okay. Well, good stuff, Greg. Get some sleep here, and we'll be back at it next week. We appreciate it. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. Check out all our other podcasts, by the way. We're doing one with Tom Brawley and our guy Paul Kelly on Tuesdays in the Waiver Wire, and our new man, Bo Wolf, formerly of PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and Joe Dolan on Wednesday's afternoon, the Ask Guru podcast. That's going to wrap it up. Check out fantasyguru.com. We can help you in DFS, Daily Fantasy, with our Draft Guru tool. Check that out, fantasyguru.com. For Greg Cosell, I'm John Hansen. Good luck in week two.